1290 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Former President Donald Trump meeting today with probation officers prior to his July 11th sentencing on criminal charges. ABC's Rachel Scott has more.
We are told the former president will sit for that virtually from his Mar-a-Lago estate. All of that will be included in a report that will be submitted to Judge Juan Merchan as he considers what the former president should be sentenced with on July 11.
Trump held a rally in Las Vegas yesterday, telling hotel workers if reelected, he would not tax their tips. The Biden administration doubling down efforts to broker a ceasefire deal between Israel and Hamas. Secretary of State Antony Blinken in Egypt later today will meet with Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. Centrist party leader Benny Gantz resigning from Prime Minister Netanyahu's war cabinet, citing the lack of a plan, he says, for Gaza after the war. Big wins for far-right anti-immigration politicians in Europe over the weekend. Hunter Biden's gun trial is wrapping up in Delaware. Still unclear whether Biden himself will take the stand. This is ABC News.
I'm Lisa Hale with WGBW News. Your news in depth. Find it in the news section at WGBW.FM.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. At least 10 people are expected to pull through after a mass shooting at a high-rise rooftop party in Madison overnight Saturday. Police Chief Sean Barnes says the victims range in age from 14 years old to 23.
It is truly a miracle that no one is dead.
Evidence suggests at least two shooters, but no one's been arrested as of this morning. Inmates at the Waupun State Prison tell a Milwaukee TV station they're served cold meals and don't get proper medical care. Inmates held a sit-in last week after former warden Randall Happ and 8 former prison staffers were charged with felonies. The Dodge County Sheriff's Office accuses them of failing to meet the basic needs of prisoners who died on their watch. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now, here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WGBW News, I'm Lisa Hale. Summer travel's cranking up and gas prices are cranking down. Nationally, gas prices have dropped about 10 cents a gallon in the last week. In our area, Green Bay gas is averaging $3.18 today, down about 3 cents from last week. And in Appleton, gas averages are $3.19, down almost 5 cents from last week. Statewide gas prices are down 10 cents a gallon to an average of $3.22. Crossroads 41 spent over $2 million to get Oshkosh Festival Park off of I-41 ready for our new music festival in August.
It's all about that customer experience. From the moment when they turn right into your driveway to when they leave that evening or at the end of the show on Saturday night.
Manager John Gorley says to improve the customer experience, they added grandstands, revamped the entrance to allow better flow of traffic, and added drainage to keep concertgoers dry. And that's what you need to know. I'm Lisa Hale, WGBW News.
The Brewers get trounced by the Tigers. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers lost to the Tigers in Detroit 10-2. Milwaukee giving up 8 runs in the 5th inning. Manager Pat Murphy on pitcher Bryce Wilson's performance.
I think for inning 2, 3, 4, he was great. Had his cutter and his sinker. But the first inning and the other inning, you can't walk. If you're Bryce, you can't walk people. That's not his ticket to being an effective starter. But it is what it is. You know, credit to the Tigers.
The crew opens a home series tonight against the Blue Jays. IndyCar racing in Wisconsin over the weekend at Road America. The winner in Sunday's Grand Prix, Will Power of Australia, second place to Joseph Newgarden, who won the Indy 500. Golf, Ernie Els beat Steve Stricker in sudden death at the AmFam Championship in Madison, shooting 12 under par.
What can I say? You guys run a hell of a golf tournament on a great golf course.
That's golfer Ernie Els with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your hometown radio, Refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Mostly sunny today with a high of 70 this afternoon. The wind out of the north at 5 to 15. Tonight, clear 47. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy, 74 with scattered thunderstorms tomorrow night into early Wednesday morning. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 57.
The Todd Alba Show,
managing editor of E-Bombs World, Mr. Peter Rapine.
Google this week released a new product, the new AI Overview. If you Google search, can I use gasoline to cook spaghetti? Google says, no, you can't use it to cook spaghetti, but you can use gasoline to make spicy spaghetti dishes.
Not recommended. Do not do that.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
My mom has taken up going to the park to practice yoga.
My dad's going to a club, but not a book club, a salsa club.
Finding new hobbies comes with age.
My mom has started getting lost and not knowing where she's going.
Becoming lost or disoriented doesn't. Confusion with time or place may be a sign of Alzheimer's. An early diagnosis can help improve the quality of life for your loved one. Learn the warning signs of Alzheimer's at 10signs.org. Brought to you by the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Coming up on our next show, Mike Stanley from the Oshkosh Fire Department will join us to talk about the fall prevention program they've been working on. Plus, we'll have another chance for you to play along with the Civic Media Scotty Summer Text to Win contest.
Weekday mornings, 6 till 9.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home of Mino and the Mayor.
Started of you thinking that I had been untrue. But if you think that we'd be better parted, it's gonna hurt me, but I break away from you. Well, just give me the sign.
All right, welcome back to a Motown Monday on the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. You know, there is this, political divide that continues in this nation, and you know, it's a couple of different political divides, but one is really urban and the other is rural. Another political divide, you know, Democrat, Republican, conservative, liberal, but urban and rural divide that continues to grow in the nation. And I think, you know, when you talk about presidential elections and, you know, what side of the ox should be gored first, you know, it's one of those issues that has divided the nation even more so. Again, I've been around a long time. Maybe there's been an urban-rural divide. Didn't just happen, but I've been around long enough to remember, again, when rural was blue collar. And so most of the people who lived in rural areas had unionized jobs. The farms were mom and pop farms, and Democrats spent a lot of time. Rural people were proud to be Democrats. And, you know, along the way, you know, those things have changed. And so, you know, there's this article that I was reading in The Nation over the weekend, and it's called Rethinking Rural America. And it was centering on whether or not Democrats can somehow regain the trust and faith of rural America. And as I was reading it, there was many things that kind of stood out, and you can get this article again on The Nation. You can read it for yourself. It's called Rethinking Rural. And it pointed out, let me read a couple paragraphs that I think really make you pause and ask, you know, shake your head and ask why. Both Republicans and Democrats' neoliberal economic policies have been harmful. In some instances, ruinous to rural communities. The GOP on the whole has caused more economic pain. Let me repeat that. Both Republicans and Democrats' neoliberal economic policies have been harmful to rural America. In some instances, ruinous to rural communities. The GOP on the whole has caused more economic pain, but it has also been the party that has acknowledged rural struggles and put the people who've been harmed at the center of their rhetoric. None more so than Donald Trump, who said in 2016, every time you see a closed factory or a wiped out community in Ohio, it was essentially caused by the Clintons. Whether that's accurate or inaccurate, I happen to know it's inaccurate because, again, as somebody who worked in industry for 34 years and who watched the jobs leave this country, I know whom and how and why this happened. And I do know that Bill Clinton was the president at the time. But I also know that it was the one time that Democrats and Republicans both agreed with global economics. And it was Republicans who supported Bill Clinton in the move to take these middle-class jobs out of rural America, out of urban America, and move them overseas to benefit the corporations. That was bipartisan. 844-967-2789. And I always say, you know, when you know that truth, and then the rural farms, the family farms, the fact that the family farms were taken over by corporations, you know, somehow people have put their fingers on Democrats and say, and have said that Democrats are the ones who took away the family farms. Not true. But if the Democrats can't figure out a way to make sure that truth doesn't become fiction, which it has, then they wind up in a situation where we're in right now, where somebody can talk about things without having any truth or any facts connected, and then make the statements that they're making to rural America, and rural America buys it, even in the face of, as I stated before, the GOP on the whole has caused more economic pain. That's not what rural America is hearing. They're not hearing that policies from, you know, the GOP is what's been at the root of the loss of the paper mills and the industry that used to be there. Because that same reality happened again in the urban centers at the same time. Now, what is it going to take for rural America to focus on not just rhetoric, but if you look at policies, President Joe Biden, more than any other president in decades, has spent more time prioritizing, you know, rural people and rural America than almost any president that I can remember in my lifetime. 844-967-2789. I'm talking about programming. I'm not talking about rhetoric. I'm talking about programs. For heaven's sakes, when you look at the farm bill every year and look at who's pushing what from the perspective of rural America and what's in the best interest of farmers, those bills are always hung up because Republicans want to figure out a way to make sure that corporate farms get the fair share, the lion's share of things. It's not something that I'm fabricating. It's factual. 844-967-2789. I always say don't take my words for it. It's easy to look up. You know, just type into your Google search and the truth of what is going on will come forth. Now, you know, I get it. Joe Biden has came up with pro-worker policies. Who's worked as hard as possible to, you know, do away with unions, which were the lion's share of, you know, the corporations and the businesses that employed people during my time that created the middle class jobs that everybody always talks about, the middle class benefits that were in those paper mills. Who was it behind those things? And yes, who is it that's trying to figure out a way and formulate a way to bridge that gap? It clearly is, you know, President Biden. But rural America has to make a decision. And it has decided, for the most part. I know I've talked with some in rural parts of the country, and not just rural parts of the state, but rural parts of the country, who seem to think that the Republicans are going to change things for them. You know, you look at and I'm looking at this text message from Tony. Pat Kreitlow talked about the funding for clean water being held up by Republicans in the state house, holding out for protections for big business last Friday. It's just truthful. And so if people aren't willing to look at, you know, what is factual and are more enamored with, you know, someone who will say anything, then, you know, I don't know if it's possible to change anybody's minds. I would always say, as a voter, as a lifelong voter, just give me the facts, right? You know, tell me what you feel, and then I'll research it, which is what all of us should do, for what's factual and what's fiction. 844-967-2789 is the number. It's not too late for Democrats to win back rural voters. Your thoughts on a Motown Monday on the Earl Ingram Show.
How's your life been going on? I got a wife now. Years we've been going strong. Oh no, there's just something that I got to say.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute and a thought about whether fancy cookware is worth your hard-earned dollars. I love cooking, so I have done a lot of research to figure out what is worth my money. One thing I know, fancy nonstick is a no-go. Don't do it. Nonstick pans wear out after a year, maybe two. Once the surface of the pan gets all scrapey-scratchy, you gotta throw it out and you gotta replace it. I replace mine roughly once a year. Here's another tip. Don't buy a set of pans. Buy the cookware you need one piece at a time as you need it. For most tasks in my house, cheap cast iron is the go-to. I like it from a yard sale, but if you gotta buy new at the store, you can do that too. And this leaves room to say, yeah, if you love to cook, a high-end all-clad or Le Creuset pot, that is the occasional treat that I think can be worth it. Although I would still wait for them to go on sale. For more everyday money tips, check out workmoney.org. This is Carrie Joy saying, take good care.
This is the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
All right, welcome back to a Motown Monday on the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. It's the final week of our statewide Scunny Summer giveaway. Download the Civic Media app and get ready for the key word. One person every hour will win a Wisconsin Dells prize pack. One every day will win a pair of Brewer tickets, and two grand prize winners will win a Wisconsin staycation. Use the Civic Media app to text the word cheese to your home station to enter. The word is cheese. All right. You know, before we went to break, I was talking about this article in The Nation that I read over the weekend. It's not too late for Democrats to win back rural voters. I will again say this, that if rural voters, and there's, where is this? Some rural voters believe that the Democrats traded rural voters for suburban voters. And so it's kind of created some feelings, some hostile feelings, that, you know, Democrats chose somebody else over them. And it is true that, you know, suburban voters, for the most part, are more, you know, educated. Have college degrees more so than those in rural areas. That's not a, you know, that's not a slant on anybody. That's just something that is factual. And so it has in many instances, created some harsh feelings from some. So let's do this. So we're going to go to the phone lines and we'll start with Mike from Kenosha. Hey, good morning to you, Mike. How you doing, sir? Always good to hear from you.
Enjoying, and thank you very much, and enjoying another Motown Monday. I look so forward to it.
Well, thank you.
Definitely having a good show. Hey, there's only a very small handful of larger cities that vote Republican. It's Salt Lake, Fort Worth, Phoenix by a nose, and I think there's one more, but all the rest of the urban areas are absolutely governed and dominated by a Democrat. So you're talking about the divide between small town and large town America. You know, I think, frankly, the left has ignored a lot of the rural parts of our country. Now, Clinton, and I think he's won, he was really a Democrat in name only.
Yeah, he was a centrist. He was a centrist.
Well, I don't even know if he's a centrist. I'd say maybe center right, because again, you know, he cut welfare in half or thereabouts.
Yeah,
he was very aggressive. You know, as far as you know, the social safety net, very very aggressive.
Right.
And again, NAFTA would never have happened without him. So, you know, despite, by the way, virtually, you know, 90% of the party voting against him. So that's where, again, history needs to be fully explained a little bit, because I think Bill Clinton was a Democrat in name only. Now, by the way, the farm consolidation, Earl Butz, who was Nixon's agriculture secretary, warned in 1973, I believe it was, about the inevitability that I think he warned, the statement was, get big or get out of the farming business. And of course, decades later, you know, we look at it now, and sure, you got a smattering of nice-sized independent facilities here and there, but by and large, 80% of agriculture is dominated by a handful of the same corporations. So we have gotten ourselves into a pickle here. But I think by you illuminating light on the subject and recognizing that, you know, we can dig ourselves out, we just have to, again, get back to this, you know, truth-based and common sense approach of what it takes to have a flourishing republic. We have the power, but quite frankly, it's been taken. Most of the power has been taken away by the dark money, and that's the monster in the closet that is really, you know, out of control. Money is dictating messaging in media. It's dictating ad buys. It's dictating policies. We the people are an afterthought. And when we've seen a government that is now under the control of a small minority, and so many of the topics that are important to everybody would be immigration reform or smart gun legislation, they're being ignored because we are not in control anymore. It's dark money.
Hey, Mike, thank you very much for the call, as always, my friend. Really appreciate it. Let's go to Tom from West Dallas. Hey, good morning to you, Tom. Thank you for listening. Thank you for the call. You say what, sir?
Good morning, Earl. I was just, you know, listening to this, and I agree 100% with what you're saying, but I think that the rural people do not see how the Republicans, who are in charge of, like, the state and everything, they're the ones who have to green light these corporate farms. And they don't realize the undermining that it's doing to the rural farmers with all the corporate farms. But one other thing I have noticed is that I have a lot of friends who are truck drivers. I also have friends and acquaintances who are farmers, and they're all Republicans. And I don't want to say blame it, but that I contribute all that to AM right-wing radio. For years and years and years and years, you had Rush and the others all talking right-wing, and we had no civic media at the time. And they got indoctrinated. I mean, my friend, a good friend of mine, is a truck driver. And what did he do? He listened. He got bored of music, so he switched over to AM radio. This is before streaming and stuff, too. And that's all he got, was one side of the whole subject, and nobody was putting out our side.
Hey, Tom, right on point. Really appreciate it, man. Thank you very much. Keep listening. Keep telling somebody about us. 844-967-2789. Don't go anywhere. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show at 540 AM WAUK and 101 FM, The Show.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for the Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
You can always continue the conversation on social media.
Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Marquette University President Michael Lovell is dead. A Marquette spokesperson says Lovell and his wife were in Rome with Jesuit priests and the Board of Trustees on a pilgrimage when he got sick Sunday and was taken to the hospital. Lovell was diagnosed with sarcoma, which is a rare form of cancer, 3 years ago. Lovell came to Marquette 10 years ago after leading UW-Milwaukee. A handful of pro-Palestinian protesters disrupted Senator Tammy Baldwin's speech to the Democratic State Party convention in Milwaukee Saturday night. State Party Chair Ben Wickler sounds unfazed.
Protesting is part of political life. It's part of what happens in a democracy.
Sunday, delegates voted for a resolution calling for a ceasefire in Gaza. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WGBW News, I'm Lisa Hale. Brown County donated the land. Electrician, contractors, and construction workers are donating labor, and some materials have been given. Once the Green Bay Common Council approves the zoning, work can begin on Cottage Court, a tiny home village for veterans. Gail Knorr with Veterans First says they could always use volunteers.
We're going to have a database on our website where people can sign up to do certain things at certain hours on certain days, whatever works for them. It's called Volunteer Hub, and they're going to be able to pick what they want to do.
Knorr says they've already got a wait list for veterans wanting to enter the 21 tiny homes. The Wisconsin Lottery is phasing out a drawing that offers 10 weekly $1,000 winners. The second chance drawing required non-winning lottery tickets and scratch-offs to be sent for entry. Wisconsin Lottery Director Cindy Polzin said that the drawings are outdated and labor-intensive. The second chance drawing will continue through December 26th. And that's what you need to know. I'm Lisa Hale, WGBW News.
I'm Pete with the 60-second Showbiz Beat. Netflix has announced The Upshaws will get a seventh and final season, an impressive run despite not getting a lot of attention from the entertainment media. The show is produced network style in multicam format, a rarity for a streamer studio. The Upshaws will finish with a total of 60 episodes, the third most on Netflix for a multi-camera show behind The Ranch and Fuller House. The show stars Mike Epps, Kim Fields, and Wanda Sykes, who also co-created. All episodes are available on Netflix. If you're a boxing purist, this probably won't interest you. The Mike Tyson-Jake Paul fight has been rescheduled for November 15th. Tyson had to bow out of their fight, which was scheduled for July 20th because of an ulcer. The former champ has also had a cocaine and alcohol problem that he says weakened and almost killed him, is 30 years older than Paul, and was recently confined to a wheelchair while battling sciatica. That was probably the ailment that finally gave Paul the confidence to challenge Mike Tyson. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 7 to 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Mostly sunny today with a high of 70 this afternoon. The wind out of the north at 5 to 15. Tonight, clear 47. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy, 74 with scattered thunderstorms tomorrow night into early Wednesday morning. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 57.
Mino and the mayor.
Ben, buddy. It's nice to see you. What do you think the city needs to do?
We need to change the perception of the schools. There is a negative perception about Green Bay Public Schools. I'm just getting into it as a parent. My kid is in kindergarten at McCullough on the east side, and I think we need to improve how people view our schools. There's a perception, and I don't know if it's warranted or not.
Mino and the Mayor, weekday mornings 6 until 9 on the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, and Oshkosh Air Support, WISS. Nightline with Pete Schwabba.
Melissa was my neighbor in L.A. Her husband Jim would break open these $100 bottles of wine they just have sitting around.
A friend of mine and I went to his friend's house. Her dad put like a $500 bottle of scotch down on the table and was like, hey, I got this for you guys. Like, go ahead.
We're 18. We can't appreciate this. I've never had an alcoholic beverage in my life until my 21st birthday.
Nightline with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Joe Zepecki here to talk about Project 2025, two women on the opposite side of the abortion issue, and a way to make flying a little more enjoyable. Join us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
like the one I've got.
Every day the sun comes up around her. She can make the birds sing harmony. Every drop of rain is glad it found her. Heaven must have made her just for me. When she smiles so warm and tender, a sight for sore eyes to see.
Ooh. All right, welcome back to a Motown Monday on the Earl Ingram Show. The great Levi Stubbs of the Four Tops, you know, one of the greatest voices I think ever, baritone voices especially. Before, you know, the last segment, we were talking about, you know, rural, this article I read in The Nation over the weekend, and it basically was talking about the rural divide and the fact that Democrats are trying to win back, you know, rural electors, people who, you know, would vote Democratic. There was a time, some of us remember not so long ago, when rural America belonged to Democrats. That's not the case as much anymore. Your thoughts, 844-967-2789. Let's go to Cindy from Appleton. Good morning to you, Cindy. Thank you very much for the call. Thank you for listening, as always. Rethinking rural America, you say what?
Well, first of all, sorry I missed you on Saturday. I was actually at the convention. I must have walked past you a couple times. I had tunnel vision.
Wasn't it
I'm
great?
Really disappointed I didn't get a chance to meet you. It was an awesome convention.
Yeah, yes, ma'am.
Yep. Anyway, I just wanted to say that Scott Walker was the one that started this CAFO movement, because once he came in, Wisconsin became for sale to the big egg, and that's when the boom took over. And I have to agree with your last caller, Tom, because I'm not saying all rural, because I know some farmers who are actually Democrats, and a lot of them that belong to the Farmers Union are Democrats, but there's just not enough of them to make a difference. And I also don't understand how they can't see how this works for the big farmers and doesn't work for the small farmers, and how they've become so brainwashed by all the baloney. And it's very disappointing, because the more they believe in that crap from the Republicans, the more farmers we're going to lose.
Well, so I mean, you're in Appleton, the frustrating part of it is, you know, many of these farmers, now smaller farmers, have taken over the family farms, right? Their parents were different. They voted Democrat. They saw a different time. And so many of them now, they're not their parents. And it's no different. I say the same thing about blacks in the urban centers who voted Democrat. My parents and their parents always voted Democrat. Well, you know, their grandchildren, they don't see it the same way. It's a different generation of people, and so, you know, we've got to take that into consideration, Cindy, as well.
Well, the thing is, if the Democrats could pass Medicare for all, how would that help the farmers? Because most of them don't have insurance. I mean, this would be huge for them, and this is something else I don't understand.
Yes, and who's holding that up, Cindy?
The Republicans.
Hey, Cindy, thank you as always. I really appreciate it. Let's go to Tom from L.A. Good morning to you, Tom. Man, this is right in your wheelhouse. You say what?
Yeah, good morning, Earl. First off, I've lived in both the rural and the urban areas of the country, and I couldn't agree with the last callers. Big money in politics, Citizens United. I'd recommend anybody that's out there, like Cindy just talked about, go on YouTube, look up Scott Walker, Divide and Conquer, because that was his whole strategy, with the divide and conquer the state of Wisconsin. And also on top of that, Fox News, right wing hate radio, playing in the barns years ago, hearing Rush only because there was no other alternative to those stations except for maybe NPR, but people for some reason went towards the Rush Limbaughs of the world. And I would say also, just to push back a little bit, a lot of the people that were farmers from family generations, just like teachers that were generations of teachers, it's really gone down because a lot of these kids grew up, they didn't want to do what their parents did and work on the farm. A lot of teachers have been treated so poorly in the state of Wisconsin that they don't want to be teachers like their parents were and what have you. So, you know, it's really a collaboration of a lot of different things. But I think if we got money completely out of politics, or at least push back on it, and if we could actually get where we're all in this together, doesn't matter if you're rural or urban. In fact, I think the rural people have really been, sold a bit of goods. And I hate to, they're very, very smart. People in the rural areas are very, very, very smart. But the thing is, the propaganda that's coming at them 24/7 is really making them vote against their best interests. And I'd like to know what you think. I'll take my answer out the air.
Well, you know, Tom, you're a guy who's been able to live in both worlds. I have not. I'm not as connected to rural Wisconsin. I'm a city guy, man, born and raised in the city and haven't ventured, you know, too far outside of urban centers. But I do know, and I remember as a union guy myself for 34 years, and at the root of who I am is union. And so I do know, as a young man, rural America and unionism and all of those things were one and the same. There were unions throughout rural America. And so that's not there anymore. And it's not there anymore because the industry that was once in those areas is gone. And so, yes, people struggle. And, I don't know what it's like to be isolated in a small town, where the lifeblood of your community has been erased. And, small towns where there's a small downtown and the business people can no longer sustain the businesses that they had, or the fact that their children, don't want to live in the small town anymore because there's not a whole lot of things to do anymore. I can tell you that there's this one movie that I've watched 100 times and I love it, and I'll watch it 100 more every chance I get. In a black and white movie, and it was called, I'll think of it in a moment. But it depicted rural America. The last picture show, Kevin, have you ever seen that?
I have not.
You should see the last picture show, and it's about a rural town that was once burgeoning, and movie theaters, restaurants, hotels, the whole nine yards, and all of that died out, and the young people who were left there, were just floundering. There was not a whole lot of things left for them to do, and the people, who had been there when the town was once vibrant, could only think about, what it was. Well, that's in a movie, but that it was real, and so, you have to feel the pain of those people. But I always say to them, it's been twofold, and this attack and this assault has been on urban as well. And that's why I've always said that we've got more in common than we don't have in common. Somebody came and stole our dreams. and took them away, and then created a chasm between rural and urban, and benefited, and the corporations benefited. So, you know, if you get a chance, you know, look at this article. It's called Rethinking Rural America and the Nation. And it's one of the reasons why both areas are going to be critically important in this election, as they are always. Believe half of what you see and none of what you hear. It, when you hear this constant chirping about the fact that Democrats have totally walked away from rural America. Yeah, don't take my word for it. Look at what Joe Biden has been attempting to do. Joe Biden has attempted to do some things to address all of these issues, and has been stonewalled almost at every turn by Republicans in the House. Let's go to Charles from Milwaukee. Hey, good morning to you, Charles. Thank you for the call. You say what?
Oh, good morning, Earl. So my call was not about what you're talking about now. It was what you talked about earlier.
Go ahead.
Being at the hospital at Freighter. And I'm trying to find out, is there a way that I can re-listen to that segment? I actually know the man that you met. They stayed with us, him and his girlfriend. My niece stayed with us over the weekend. So he wouldn't have to drive back and forth from Green Bay.
Oh,
and
man.
I would love for him to hear what you had to say, because he is a really great guy.
So, yes, Calvin, how can he get a chance to hear that segment?
Yeah, so you can always find our shows at civicmedia.us/shows, and you'll find the Earl Ingram Show. I will have it posted in the next few minutes, and then you can also find it on Spotify, Apple Music, or Apple Podcasts, or wherever else you get your podcasts. You can also find the live stream on Facebook or YouTube if you would like to watch the video.
And Charles, Calvin will. I'm going to leave my phone number with Calvin, and for you to give to him, and tell him to give me a call when he gets time. And I really appreciate you listening, and I really appreciate you, responding to a segment that I thought, there's no way I can't talk about this on the show this morning, and tell him how much we really appreciated him, and that our prayers are still with him and his family.
Yeah, I was listening, and then when I heard you talk about Freighter, and you already talked, I'm like, there's no way he's getting ready to talk about Matt. And when I heard you say peanut allergy, I was like, wow, tears started coming down, because that's emotional. Your 21-year-old daughter, who's living her best life, goes out and eats something that she didn't realize had peanut butter in it and didn't have her EpiPen with her. And it's heart-wrenching.
Yeah.
And have to make a touching decision right now about, you know, what's going to happen with your daughter going forward.
And Charles, Matt, right? The man, his strength and his beauty, and like I said, what he did for in his darkest hour, that he was able to, not only him, his daughter and others, think about what my wife and I were going through, and the young man, Jamari, that we're raising, and what he was going through. So, man, thank him from the depths of my heart, and I look forward to hearing from him. Thank you very much, Charles. I really appreciate it. 844-967-2789 is the number. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home of Mino and the Mayor.
Over the past 20 years, Wisconsin has seen a huge increase in reported elder abuse cases. Elder abuse is the verbal, physical, emotional, sexual, or financial abuse of a senior citizen. It can also be the intentional or unintentional neglect of an older person. Wisconsin's population of seniors 65 and older is projected to grow significantly in the coming decades. That's why we all share the responsibility to help protect our seniors by recognizing and reporting any signs of elder abuse. If you believe that elder abuse has been inflicted upon yourself or someone you know, please report it. Call the Wisconsin Elder Abuse Hotline toll-free at 1-833-586-0107 or visit reportelderabusewi.org. Respect our elders. Report abuse. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Justice.
This project is supported by the Administration for Community Living, ACL, U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, HHS, as part of a financial assistance award totaling $120,000 with 100% funding by ACL HHS. The contents are those of the authors and do not necessarily represent the official views of nor an endorsement by ACL HHS or the U.S. government.
The Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
Someone else controls your very soul. I fool myself long as I can feel the presence of another man. It's there when you speak my name. It's just not the same. Ooh, baby, I'm losing you. It's in the air.
All right, welcome back to the last few minutes of the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. You know, this opportunity to, you know, sit before this microphone Monday through Friday is a great privilege and honor. And it is because of having an opportunity like this, you get to hear from people like Charles, the last caller, and all of those people who I had a chance to share conversations and dialogue with at the Democratic Convention. People who we would never, our paths would never cross one another ever. Had it not been for, and if it was not for civic media in this microphone. And I understand and relish the importance of it. And so every morning that I get up and or evening that I spend some time determining what we're going to be talking about on the air, I never, ever take any of that for granted, you know, because there was a couple times in the past that, you know, I lost the privilege because the radio stations that I was, you know, and I don't even want to use the terms working because this is not work. This is therapeutic to have an opportunity to be able to talk about, and I like to spend my time and energy, and anybody who knows me, and by now, I hope you, the listening audience, knows, talking about real issues that impact and affect us. Not about the fact that I just bought a brand new $70,000 car. There's nothing wrong with that. Not the fact that I just bought, you know, an $800,000 home or summer cabin or any of those things. You know, not that my 401k is at its epitome, because I don't know anything about those things. I've never experienced those things and probably would never experience them in my life. I'm not a guy who owns a bunch of stocks. I'm not that. I'm your average everyday guy. And when people meet me, they say, hey, you're just like that guy on radio. Well, yeah, because that's who I am. At the root of who I am is you. You know, a person who struggles to make it in the society, a person who has a modicum of spirituality in my life. I don't wear it on my sleeve. I try to practice it through serving. You know, a person who's has all kind of character flaws, a person who didn't fall down out of heaven, a person who came up out of hell, who had my demons, who continues to struggle with trying to be the best possible person I can be, trying to be the best possible father, trying to be the best possible husband. I fall short of all of those things. And so when I get a chance to come here on the radio, it's therapeutic for me because I can cleanse myself by being open and honest and forthright. And so, you know, it's never a job for me. I've had jobs in my life. And this is not it. I don't, you know, nobody, you know, when I worked in industry and I was working 12 hours a day, you know, 7 days a week, year in, year out, and I would come in with my badge and I would strike the time clock and I would go and put on my equipment and go to wherever it was I was scheduled to be on that day. I was highly skilled for the industry that I worked in and for the company that I worked for. I had great skills that I had acquired over the years, and I was trusted to operate, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars worth of equipment, you know, and it didn't matter. I was always able to do that and do it to the best of my ability and make sure that the people could trust me, that we were going to get it done, we were going to get it done on time, and that they would not have to worry. Now I've been given this gift and to talk to you Monday through Friday. And I'm going to keep on as long as they feel that I'm worthy of being on these airways. We're going to keep on, you know, having dialogue and conversation. Cannot do this without you, the audience, the reason that I'm sitting here. Because if I wasn't saying something that resonated with you in your life, I would be gone. You know, be brief, be quick, and be gone. I'm none of those things on this show, right? I'm not brief, I'm not quick, and I hope I'm not going anywhere soon. But thank everybody who made the show go. Thank you, Calvin, as always, man. Could not do this without you. You're getting stronger and better, and you and I are getting better and stronger as a team, and Civic Media is getting stronger as a network. So up next, Jane Madnair, Greg Bott, Madnair on Air. Have a great morning and evening. See you guys on tomorrow.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for the Todd Allball Show.
Pete Schwaba. On the next Nightlight, I'm live from Madison and welcome up-and-coming singer-songwriter Katie Scullin, who performs live in studio. And I'm joined by Civic Media News Director and comedy enthusiast Terry Bell.
Nightlight with Pete Schwaba, weeknights 7 till 9.
It's time for Civic Media's Scotty Summer Text to Win contest right here on this local Civic Media radio station. We're hooking you up with Wisconsin Dells prize packs, Milwaukee Brewers club level tickets, plus the chance to win a summer getaway to Door County, Lake Geneva, or a lake house vacation. Download the Civic Media app in the Apple or Google stores. Find your station and get set to text for your chance to win in this statewide contest. It's your shot to win with Scotty Summer on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay. WGBW 1590 AM Denmark. W250 CV Green Bay. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.